You're rolling in off the runway, taxi speed, the transient ramp is dead ahead, and right in the middle of all that beautiful concrete stands one person. Safety vest, orange wands raised high, looking right at you. Something in the back of your brain immediately shifts into a different mode because suddenly this is not a solo operation. You have a partner, a complete stranger standing 60 feet in front of your spinning propeller, and you're going to trust them completely with the most expensive thing you own. In the next 90 seconds, you two are going to have an entire conversation without saying a single word. Welcome to Radio Hangar. I'm Ramp. This is Ramp Check. And I'm fired up today because I want to talk about something so woven into the fabric of ramp culture that most pilots never stop to think about it. The masher, the line crew, the person with the wands, and the silent language that connects the cockpit to the ground. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins for every step of the journey. First solo private pilot, instrument all the way up, mark the milestones that matter. Every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Now, let me take you somewhere. Small regional airport. September, late afternoon. That golden hour light that makes every airplane look like it belongs on a poster. I am standing on the transient ramp at a busy general aviation field, and I'm watching a Beechcraft Bonanza come off the parallel taxiway and make the turn onto the ramp. And out in front of it is Marcus. Marcus has been working line service at this airport for 11 years. He is 29 years old. He has 240 total hours in his logbook, and he is working on his instrument rating. He started here as a summer job when he was 18, and he never left. And I watch Marcus raise both wands above his head, come forward, the bonanza creeps toward him, and Marcus starts reading that airplane, reading it the way a sailor reads water. He is watching the nose gear. He is watching the wingtips in relation to the tie-down stakes on either side. He is doing math in his head, wingspan turning radius, the wet pavement from this morning's rain. He brings his right wand down and across. Turn right. The bonanza pivots, Marcus walks backwards, perfectly wands moving, guiding, and then both wands cross in front of his face. Stop. The bonanza stops. Marcus walks forward, slides chocks under the mains, comes up on the pilot's side, and the pilot, who has never been to this airport before, who has been in the air for 4 hours, who is tired and stiff and just wants a cup of coffee, rolls down the window and says, "Perfect. Thank you." And Marcus nods, because that is the language. That is how it works. I have been to a lot of airports, big ones, tiny ones, grass strips where you tie down to a stake someone drove into the ground 40 years ago and hasn't moved since. But there is something about a well-run transient ramp that I find genuinely beautiful. It is one of the most precise and graceful examples of nonverbal communication I have ever seen. And it is completely invisible to anyone who is not looking for it. Let me walk you through the signals, because if you learn to fly at a quiet field where you just pulled up and parked wherever you felt like it, you might not know all of these, and you should. Both wands raised above the head means come forward, keep rolling toward me. When the wands come down and start to move in a rolling motion, that means keep coming. Maintain your speed. When they slow the rolls, you slow down. When they cross in front of the face or chest, you stop. Hard stop. Do not roll another inch. One wand pointing left while the other makes a turning motion means turn that direction. Right side gets the same in reverse. When a masher needs you to make a sharp pivot on one wheel, they point down at the wheel that stays put and make the turn motion with the other wand, and you pivot on that wheel. That signal is elegant, completely intuitive once you see it, and absolutely essential when you're trying to park a Cherokee in a space that was clearly designed for a Cub. The throat cut, both wands drawn across the throat, you know exactly what it means, mixture to idle, cut off, mags off. Done. And then there's the thumbs up. You're good. You're parked. The lineman is satisfied with your position, and usually before you can even get the door open, they are putting chocks under your manes and asking if you need fuel. The chocks are their own small ritual. A good line crew member goes for the manes first, then the nose if there's any slope. Same way every time, because the same way every time is safe. That kind of muscle memory is built over thousands of aircraft, thousands of afternoons, thousands of pilots who just want to get out of the cockpit and stretch their legs. Here is what I think pilots underestimate about the person with the wands. You're trusting them with information you cannot see from the cockpit. You cannot see your wingtips. You cannot see what is behind your tail when you're taxiing forward. You cannot see the ramp stanchion that is 2 feet to your right and about to ruin your whole day. The masher can see all of that. They are your eyes for everything outside the cockpit. And that trust has to be absolute, because the moment a pilot decides they know better than the person with the wands and keeps rolling when the stop signal comes, that is when things break. Literally, wings, props, fuel trucks. I have heard the stories. Marcus told me one. He said he once had a pilot in a twin, nice airplane, expensive airplane, who just kept coming. Marcus gave the stop. The pilot kept rolling. Marcus held his ground. The pilot finally stopped. His left wingtip was 18 inches from a Cessna 172 that was tied down and waiting for its owner. 18 inches, Marcus said the pilot got out, looked at the situation, looked at Marcus, and said nothing, just walked to the terminal. And Marcus said that is fine because the Cessna was intact, the twin was intact, everybody went home, that is the job. What does it take to do this job well? I asked Marcus that. He did not hesitate. He said, you have to know the airplanes. Not just recognize them, but know them. Know the wingspan of a Piper Seminole versus a Beechcraft Baron. Know that a Mooney sits different from a Cessna on the ground. Know that when a turboprop shuts down, you give the propeller time to fully stop before you walk anywhere near it. Know where the jet blast goes on a Citation versus a King Air. He said you develop a mental library. Every airplane that comes through, you add it. When a new one comes in that you have never seen before, you read the shape of it. You estimate the wingspan from the fuselage size. You hang back a little farther until you get a feel for it. He also said you have to know your pilots. The regulars who come through every week, you know their habits. You know which one always parks a little crooked. You know which one is going to ask you to top off only the left tank, because the right one has been draining faster than it should, and they are not quite ready to have that conversation with their mechanic yet. That last one made me laugh, because that is pure ramp culture right there. The stuff that lives between the lines of the official procedures. Let's talk about the fuel slip for a moment, because the fuel slip is its own piece of the culture. You land, you taxi in, the master parks you, and then comes the question fuel, and the fuel slip is the piece of paper or the tablet these days that records what went into your airplane, how many gallons, what grade, what tail number. At most fixed base operators or FBOs, you sign it, the pilot signs it. That signature is a small moment of accountability. You are confirming what went into your aircraft, and you should look at it, not just sign it. Look at it, confirm the grade. 100 low lead, jet A, whatever it is you take, confirm the quantity makes sense, given your fuel state when you landed. I will not name names, but I will tell you that mix-ups happen. Jet A in a piston engine is not a story with a happy ending. And the line crew member who made the mistake is not always the one who catches it. Sometimes it is the pilot who looks at the slip and says, wait a minute, the fuel slip is not bureaucracy. It is a safety check. Treat it like one. Now, here's what I love most about the Mareshore culture. The best ones are completely invisible when everything goes right. Think about it. When a perfect parking job happens, the signals flow, the airplane stops exactly where it needs to be, the chocks go in, the fuel starts flowing, the pilot barely registers it, it just works. The system is transparent, and that is the mark of something being done at the highest level. You only notice it when it goes wrong. The best line crew members I have ever seen work with this quiet competence that I find genuinely admirable. They are out in the summer heat, they are out in the rain, they are handling jet exhaust and prop wash and avgas fumes and sometimes the blast from something much bigger than a Bonanza blowing through at idle power. And they do it the same way every time. Because the ramp is a high-energy environment and consistency is how nobody gets hurt, I asked Marcus when he knew he had gotten truly good at this job. He thought about it for a while. He said there was a morning about 3 years in when a Pilatus PC-12 came in on an unexpected fuel stop. Big turboprop, pilot in a hurry. And Marcus said he just walked out there, read the airplane, ran the signals, got it parked, got the fuel order, had the slip ready before the pilot was even down the air stair. The pilot looked at him and said, that was the fastest turnaround I have ever had at a field this size. Marcus said that was the moment, not because of the compliment, because he realized he had not thought about any of it. He just did it. It was automatic. That is mastery. And it is happening on ramps all over this country every single day. And if you want to see the Mareshore culture at full intensity, come to a major fly-in. I'm talking about a morning when they are parking hundreds of airplanes in a few hours and the volunteer marshalling corps is running at full speed. They are there before sunrise. They have their assigned rows. They are on radio with the tower and the ground crew. They are waving in airplanes one after another at a pace that would stress out even a seasoned line crew member. And most of those volunteers are pilots themselves, not getting paid, giving up their own fly-in experience to stand in the sun and wave in other people's airplanes. Because somebody did it for them once, because it is how they stay connected, because they genuinely love it. I talked to a retired airline captain at one of these events. 41 years of flying, still current in a Cirrus SR-22. She volunteers in the home-built parking area every single year. She said home-builds do not follow any rule book. Every one of them is different. Everyone requires her to look at it completely fresh. The pilots who come in are always a little apologetic about their unusual aircraft, like they are worried she will not know how to handle their one-of-a-kind creation. And she said she always tells them the same thing. I have got you. Just follow the wands. I have got you. Just follow the wands. That is the whole thing right there. That is ramp culture in six words. Here's what I keep coming back to. The ramp is not just a concrete surface where airplanes park. It is a system, a living, continuously refined system built by generations of people who figured out how to move aircraft safely in close proximity. And the person holding the wands is the system made visible. They are the reason your Bonanza did not clip the Cherokee in the next row. They are the reason you did not back into the fuel truck. They are the reason the 17 airplanes ahead of you at the crowded fly-in got sorted before you arrived, so there was a spot ready and waiting. They do not get the logbook time, they do not get the certificate, but they are as connected to aviation as anyone with a headset and a sectional. Next time you roll onto a transient ramp and somebody comes out with the wands up, watch what they do. Watch the economy of the signals. Watch where their eyes go. Watch them read your airplane before you even get close. And when you get out, say thank you and mean it. Ask them if they fly. You might get one of the best conversations of your trip. Marcus and the line crew professionals at general aviation airports across the country were the inspiration here. Find us at radiohanger.com. I'm Ramp. Stay on the yellow line.